bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks.
All right, cool. Ready?
I'm ready.
Me too. Yeah, so I don't even know how to start. I just told my guest Alexis that these always start awkward because how do you just jump into something? Start, like, you're just gonna jump into it, even though it's a start for you, it's not a start for me. So welcome, Alexis.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. It's also really weird because this means absolutely nothing to you, Alexis, but it does to me because I've done a couple of these on Zoom now where I have to watch my audio to make sure it tries to match up a little bit with your audio so I'm not overpowering your voice the entire time. But because I'm doing this in Zoom, there's no way for me to measure levels like I can in the other program that I use when I talk on the phone. So you are part of what I would call an experiment with me figuring out all the Zoom stuff because it's literally just like trial and error. I'm going to talk and hopefully sounds good. Otherwise, I might have to do some stuff post-production, but who knows? Who knows?
All right, cool.
Trial and error.
Let's so well do done. It.
Alexa, so we talked a little bit before we started recording. We've got a couple different paths that we'll travel down in our time together. And I said, Alexis, where do you want to start? And you said, wherever. So we're literally just going to, not only are we just diving into recording, but we'll just dive into a topic as well. Maybe it'll make sense that you're on because we met through essentially college. But when I say college, me work as a hall director and you as a student staff member on campus and everything. What is it that got you interested in the resident assistant, resident advisor, whatever you want to call it, role?
Yeah, whatever it is. C-A-R-A, same thing, right? Honestly, when I came to school at Stevens Point freshman year, when I was on campus, I looked like a deer in headlights, like the second, third day after orientation. I remember just being like frozen in the middle of a sidewalk. And one of my friends was an RA in Hanson, and she came out and she's like, oh, honey, come here, let me help you. And so she kind of like gave me the lowdown of like how things might look during college and being okay with not knowing what to do or who to be with or who to associate with right at the moment when, honestly, right when you get to college and you have orientation and everything, people just start breaking off right away. And I didn't necessarily have a roommate that wanted to participate in all those things, which is totally okay because, you know, everyone's different. You can have be introvert, extrovert. I'm a mix of both. So it kind of depends what I want to do. But she definitely took me under her wing, and I'm very grateful for that. And she just introduced me to all of our RA friends, and that's kind of what got me into that type of life right off the bat. And my mom was also an RA when she was in college. So she had told me some funny stories that she experienced in college. And so when applications rolled out, I knew without a doubt that I wanted to do it. And I also had some RAs my freshman year that I didn't really get to know or get the chance to know just because their two majors were kept them very busy. Like one was a music major. So I don't know if he was like in the hall a lot ever, because when you're in an arts major, that's kind of where you live, is in the arts building. So I was like, all right, nice knowing you on the first day. Hopefully you survive. I wanted to find community. I wanted to be a part of building community. And that's ultimately what motivated me to apply.
This is also really weird for me because I'm muting myself and unmuting myself because I told Alexis when we started recording, I'm actually also eating dinner at the same time. I don't want to hear me chomping in the background. Kind of going off of that, Alexis, what would you say has been the most impactful part of that entire experience, whether it was because of just the RA position or college overall for you? Because you're graduating this May, correct?
I am, yes. I am very excited about that. But I would probably say res living just was my college experience, basically, because I lived in the halls freshman year, and then I was an RA for 2 years. And like the hardest transition for me living off campus this year was that absence of immediate community, just being around people all the time. So that took me a while to adjust to. But overall, it's just being surrounded by different kinds of people all the time. My first year as an RA, I had an amazing staff team. Like, we just connected, we bonded, we were like a family. We played sardines for like 2.5 hours after like orientation or like staff training one night. It was intense. Like, some kid hid himself in the dryer and we couldn't find him. Like, he was able to like curl himself up into the dryer and he was a goner.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Like giving us little clues and stuff. Like, at one point he threw his ID into the laundry room because he's like, I can't stay in here anymore. Like, so first year, definitely the amazing staff team. Second year also had a great staff team, but that year I was also able to connect more with residents. And honestly, from my experience, the residents like definitely played an impact on how great I would have considered my year or not. Just because sometimes, I mean, do you want to be friends with your RA? It's kind of a toss up. Like, you know, really, no. My freshman year, I was like, no, I'm cool. So it was kind of neat that last year, all my residents, or a majority of my residents, they were totally cool with coming into my room when my door was open. I felt completely comfortable leaving my door unlocked when I was like doing homework and stuff, and when I was in the hall, knowing full well that they would knock and then come in. Although there were some times where I'd leave my room to get a drink and I'd come back and there'd be some residents just hanging out all of a sudden that weren't there before I had left. And I was like, oh, hey guys, how's it going? So I think definitely just being around all those different kinds of people have helped me break out of my shell for sure and grow in my confidence. And yeah, overall, res life is the best life.
I know you, I don't know if you would describe yourself this way, but I feel like you really put yourself out there a lot and you're not afraid to just like be yourself and be silly and everything. Was that always you, or is that something that you grew into because of your res living experience?
That was definitely not always me. I would have to contribute that to res living for sure. Freshman year in college, like, I was very excited for this new start, because in high school I was very self-conscious and stuck in the comparison trap a lot, I would have to say. That was probably my biggest downfall. But then res life, just because you want to create that welcoming, positive environment, I sort of like let those fears go of being worried about what other people thought of me. I found really great friends that laugh at my stupidity all the time and support me and encourage me in my crazy antics. So yeah, you nailed it right on the head. Res life definitely helped me be more open and willing to live life more authentic and vulnerable.
It was interesting to hear you say about how just kind of the, almost in a way, a lack of community off campus versus living on campus, or just like that disconnect everything. Because that's something even I've always said, or I've always told students or people, is that I hated living off campus because of that feeling and everything. I missed being on campus and being the buzz of things. So I completely understand and relate to that piece of it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So I guess, what are your thoughts, obviously, with everything that's going on in the world right now? This is impacting you and the fact that you're not going to have a commencement, essentially. I guess, is that affect you in terms of how you feel? Like, are you disappointed about not having a commencement? Could you care less?
I was definitely bummed when I got the notification that, like, we were postponing, that it wasn't going to look the same as how I had it planned. I went to the ceremony in December, actually, to watch my best friend and my roommate graduate. And so I was, like, taking notes. Like, I was being very aware of what was going on because I was like, okay, I got to be aware of this for, like, when my family comes. I need to really plan for, like, this time and, like, being this early and just figuring stuff out. I was kind of taking it all in, and knowing now that it's not gonna be that way was very disappointing. There was also a good chance that I was going to be walking along one of my best guy friends, and so now that's, like, not gonna happen because who knows where we're gonna be in September when they postpone it or however it's gonna look. So that was definitely a bummer, and I am definitely someone who learns better in person versus online. So now being transferred to Zoom University, I have no motivation. Like, it's gone. So they offered, like, the pass fail courses, and I've seriously contemplated it because I know I have two courses that are required for me to graduate. And the additional ones were for me to be a full-time student. All of them very interesting. All of them have great professors who are very passionate about their subject, but I don't have the motivation anymore to give it all to all of my classes anymore. And I saw something on Facebook the other day that was hilarious. I love Friends so much. So it was based
great
off the
show.
Yeah, where Joey learns French. That's my favorite episode, first of all. But this meme was like Phoebe telling Joey, like, your semester isn't finished. And then Joey at the end is like, semester's done early. And I'm like, that's me. That is me.
Have you ever seen The Office?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I have a debate with a friend. I'm currently binging The Office right now. But I had this big debate with a friend of which is better, The Office or Friends?
Ooh. That's a tough one. They both have, like, such great quality. How can you even compare them?
That is what I ended up saying now that I'm 6 seasons or so into The Office. I said, you know, I don't know how you can compare, whereas before I was like, friends. And now I'm like, I think that they're very two very different shows. But he says to me, well, I think you could still have a favorite out of the two. I think it's hard because they're two very different shows in a way, in terms of setting and, like, structure. So it's hard for me to pick one, but I think I would still, I couldn't have told you this a day or two ago. I think I would still go with Friends.
Yeah, I would have to agree. No question.
Both very funny, both yes. Rewatchable, but I think that Friends, in my opinion, has more episodes that I could pick up out of the blue and just start watching. Whereas, mm-hmm. like, The Office, I'm like, yeah, it's good and I'm enjoying it. But Friends, I don't know. I would always revert back to Friends if I had to choose one.
Yeah. And Friends has, like, consistent characters, too. Whereas The Office takes some out and adds more.
Right.
More on a frequent basis. But so, yeah, I would agree with you.
Kind of talking about how things change and plans change and everything. I don't know what impact this has had or if you don't know quite yet, but I know you were going to do the Disney College program.
Yeah, I was.
Number one, what is it that got you into that? Like, how did you even find out about it? What encouraged you to apply? Mm-hmm. And then talk to me about where, even if you even know, like, where is that all at right now? Like, have they announced what they're doing in terms of plans or?
Sure. So I'll start at the beginning of the Disney journey. I found out about this, I think, freshman year of college again. It was one of those things that kind of popped up and I was like, that'd be cool because who wouldn't want to work at Disney? I grew up watching Disney movies. Like, before I was even born, my mom started collecting the movies because she's like, we got to get them before they go in the vault. well, who knew DVDs were going to come out? So besides the point, had them all and grew up watching them. I grew up dancing to a lot of the Disney songs as well. Like my first dance ever was to Perfect Isn't Easy from Oliver and Company. So very influenced by this company since birth. And I grew up wanting to work with animals. So that was always a career goal of mine, was to work at Animal Kingdom. So when this opportunity rolled around, I knew I couldn't necessarily fit it into my semester, like my regular semesters during college, because I wanted to graduate within 4 years. But I also knew that there was an opportunity for me to apply after graduation. So that's what I did in January. I had been encouraged by several people, including you, to do it, because I know a handful of people who have done it and have loved it. So I just kind of full sent it and applied and did, I think I got through the application process within 2 weeks, which was insane because everyone's application process is different. Very randomized, with the first two parts being strictly computer based, and it kind of like sorts you through. So then I was given an offer. Was it in February? I think it was in February, to be a photo pass photographer. And that was one of my top goals. So I was very excited about it. And I found a roommate who has similar values and morals as I do. And she was scheduled for merchandise. So we were talking about, like, that's all we talked about was Disney, like what kind of room we wanted. We applied for our dorms just in March, actually. And then we got news that Disney World, Disneyland was closing because of the pandemic. This did not like alarm me because I figured we all have to take these precautions. It's all for safety. That's Disney's top thing is safety. So I was like, okay, like this is just what they have to do. It's going to blow over. No big deal. My arrival date was June 1st. People kept asking me like, what's going on with the program? And I kept saying that my arrival date's probably going to get pushed back a couple weeks. It won't be a big deal. It'll be fine. And I think last week, Monday, I was actually saying the same spiel that I've been telling people, like, I'm just going to end up getting there later than expected, to my neighbor, because she asked if I had heard anything yet. And I got back inside the house, and I checked my email, and I'd received an email from Disney saying that my program was canceled. They split it up in two semesters, fall advantage, which is like 2 or 3 months earlier than everyone else for the regular fall program. And then spring advantage, which is the same as fall advantage, getting there a little bit earlier to spend more time in Disney, and then spring. So that little 3 month program, or like starter program, I guess you can say, because we're there through the fall then, was canceled because they still don't know when they're going to reopen the parks. They had in their initial email, when they had ended spring, the current spring program early, let us know that all April 20th arrivals and later were still cleared to go. But the second email was to confirm that those arrivals will no longer be happening. So that's unfortunately where I'm at now. They encouraged us to apply in the spring, and that's what I plan to do. So we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, I don't even have any. I was sitting here like, what do I say now? I mean, it's rough. I have a friend who I talk to who works for the company and everything, who's going to be airing on the podcast and stuff. Who knows? She might have already aired. She might still be on air. We're going to find out however I put these podcasts together. But regardless of the fact, she was talking about the furloughs and everything, and just the impact that she's seen and the impact that all of this has had on her as a current cast member. I even said in that podcast, you know, it's crazy. We've seen Disney closed before, maybe for like a day or so, and maybe that's the max usually I feel like that we've seen them close, except for around 9/11 when everything happened. Typically we just see them close for those weather events, but you know this is huge when Disney is closing for an unprecedented period, an unknown amount of time,
right?
Which I think really shows the impact that this is all having. And of course, I hope and I pray that this ends soon, or that we start to get back to some sort of normalcy, but who knows? It's mm-hmm. hard to say. Who knows?
Definitely.
But I know that you've turned to, you're still staying positive and everything, because you've turned to TikTok. And I've seen you trying to learn dances. What is it that turned you to TikTok? Just the quarantine itself?
Hey, excuse me, trying to learn dances? I think
you are successfully learning the dances. I'll give you that.
So TikTok, gosh, before I even downloaded the app, I had just been talking to one of my close friends from high school. I'm like, yeah, it's just so dumb. Like, what are some of these things on TikTok? I don't get it. What's the hype about? Whatever. But even before then, I think my roommate and best friend had seen one, and we like learned the foot shake. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. But we had been planning to like go all around Point and like record this video. And we have gotten about like 6 recordings of us doing this dance. And I know it originated from TikTok. So that was like the first dance that I was introduced to. And then since quarantine, like my personality is just geared towards trying to stay positive. The first week, I gotta say, it was really rough. I was supposed to be on vacation. Didn't want to be moving back home because I was like, where'd my independence go? I don't know. So I was really struggling with trying to find that gratitude. But since then, those like little things, including dumb TikTok dances, really helped me relieve my stress. And it reminded me how much I love learning choreography and how great of a stress reliever dance is, and how great of a mental break it is. And if I can just like laugh and have fun with it and even make other people laugh, then I think I'm doing all right with that. So that's what led me to TikTok. My caption used to be, quarantine had me do it. But since then, since my brother's been featured on a couple of videos, it's now ABDB, like the band, but not really. So we'll see what happens. I don't really know. I'm just rolling with it and having fun with it.
How quick do you pick up on the dances? Like, is it pretty quick for you, or does it take you a while to learn them?
It kind of depends on the dance. There are some pretty basic ones that are just like hand gestures and like upper body. Now the Aladdin dance, that one was hard because that was like professional choreography that was in the film. And that was a fast song to begin with, the Friend Like Me version with Will Smith, which love that version. So great. It's amazing. Love that movie in general. So that one I had to like watch. There's like a feature on TikTok where you can slow down the choreography and like have it play at half the speed so you can watch it slower. So I think that one I took about 2 or 3 days to learn, whereas the other ones can take me only a couple hours. Then it kind of depends on how many takes I want to do, because I make really dumb faces when I dance. So that definitely plays a factor in how long I'm going to be working on a dance for. So
I've been sitting here like the entire time you've been talking, trying to find you on TikTok.
You might find it under the username Unapologetically Lex.
All right. That's the one I'm going to search for.
Okay.
Because there is one that I was going to play that I thought it was very funny. You've had a
was
couple
with one of my brother.
Yeah, you've had a couple with your brother that are pretty funny. There's this one about him getting ready to go on a run, and then there's one where you guys are yelling at each other about laundry and not doing stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite out of those two?
It was definitely the laundry argument. That one's great.
We'll play that one.
I cook.
Excuse me.
What do you do?
You lounge.
I lounge. I have been doing the laundry.
When?
The last couple of days.
The dryer is full for the past 2 days. I cook.
I will say I watched that one probably 3 or 4 times because it just made me laugh every single time.
I don't even know like what possessed me to start recording this argument between my mom and my brother. But then I just started playing around with the little features and I lost it. Because like, first of all, chipmunk voice, hilarious, like classic. But then the fact that I could like enlarge his face or like make it bigger when he was screaming.
I do like the way it just zooms in on him as he keeps going and talking.
Exactly. It's like, this fits. This is perfect. Post it.
So at least that's something that's keeping you busy though. What else have you been doing during quarantine life?
Oh man. I take my dogs on a lot of walks. Like, the first 2 weeks that we were home, the first week that I was home, my dog was really excited that I was home. He's like, wow, this is great. Second week, he's like kind of confused why you're still here, because now is when I have the house to myself. Excuse me, rude. Third week, I went to Point to get more things. And so I came back with more things. And he's like, oh my God, she's staying. So since like he's been following me, he's my little shadow. There's some points where I'm like, I have been here too long because I know how to communicate with my dog really well. Like, he'll come in, he'll like whine a certain way, and I'm like, I know what you need. Like, it's just gotten kind of creepy, but it's fine. He doesn't do this to anyone else. Like, he knows that I'll know what he needs and then just rolls with it. Call me Dr. Doolittle. I don't know. So definitely spending a lot of time with my pups. When I didn't have schoolwork because of the extended spring break, I was doing a lot of painting, which I haven't really had a lot of time for, and like reading again. And getting outside with the family when the weather's really nice has been prime. Like, there have been nights where I have just been able to sit on the deck and read while my brother is making dinner with my mom. And that's probably my favorite part about quarantine, is just seeing how many families are out and about enjoying the weather together and like hearing all the laughter. I live in like a suburb neighborhood, so there's like a lot of kids. There's a pair that like always ride their bike during the day. Like, they're always chasing each other up and down the street and having a good time. And then the brother and sister that live next door, that have quite an age gap, but he was like pushing her on the swing set and she was just laughing so much. It was so cute. And so I just love being able to just soak in those moments. And like I said earlier, like, not really have to be anywhere other than inside for dinner at a certain time. So just kind of taking it slow.
Well, speaking about animals, you had mentioned when we were initially in talks about like, well, what am I going to talk about? You would like, must have been like screamed at me or something, because you had all caps said, oh my gosh, my zoo experience.
Yeah.
I don't know about this zoo experience. This is the first I've heard about it. Talk to me about that.
Oh man. So my major is biology. And when I was talking about Disney, I mentioned wanting to work with animals. So I came into college as pre-vet. That came with a automatic bio major and a chem minor. And it got to the point in chemistry where I had spilt acid on my hands more than once, but like nothing happened. Like, there would just be a nice little fume from the sink, but my hand was fine. And I was like,
gosh,
maybe I'm Wonder Woman. I don't know, but I don't feel anything. So that's kind of concerning as with what's happening in the sink. And then organic chemistry, I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just here in the labs, everyone else seems to be knowing why we're doing what we're doing except me. So clearly I don't belong here. So I dropped that minor, picked up captive wildlife, because I knew I still wanted to work with animals. And one of my favorite places is the zoo. Top spot for family day, I guess you could say. We go out to the zoo all the time, and mom and I take a lot of pictures because that's kind of our thing. And I could just spend forever, I guess, watching the animals. And I also knew after watching an episode of The Zoo, which is like a TV show on Animal Planet that follows like the zookeepers at San Diego Zoo around behind the scenes, they had mentioned that their animal like knows the veterinarian. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't want them to know me like that. Like, I want them to be like, oh my gosh, it's the girl with the food. Let's go. Like, I want animals to be excited to see me, not like I'm getting a shot, cool, or like game on, you know. I wanted to have a relationship with the animals at the zoo like I do with my animals at home. So I think, what year was it, my sophomore year, I had my first internship at Henry Vilas Zoo, and I worked with the aviary and the herpetarium team, so birds and reptiles. And I'm not a big snake fan because the interactions that I had with snakes prior to this internship where I was barefoot and they were like in front of me and I almost stepped on them. Like, I think I had instances like that with a snake, and so I was just like, snakes are no bueno, like, we're not friends. But then somehow I think it's a total God thing, I was put on this team. He's like, you know what, Alexis? Like, you want to care for creation? You're caring for all creation, including the snakes. And I'm just like, all right, challenge accepted. But that was probably, like, the best summer of my life because, I mean, that job is mainly cleaning, diet prep, but also you have training, you have interaction with guests, like educating them on the animals that you're working with, and just get to be around animals all the time. Like, that was just great. I was like, sometimes you don't see the zookeepers because they may not want you to see them. It's like the honest answer. There was one time where I was working with a coworker and she's like, come this way, they won't see us this way. And I was like, genius. Like, she had her own little secret path to get from one area to the next, so we didn't have to be amongst all the craziness happening within the zoo. And then after that, my last summer, I worked at Ocean Connections, which is in Milwaukee. So that's a seal and sea lion show, because I wanted to widen my range of animals that I've worked with. And so that was mainly, again, cleaning and diet prep, but also I was hosting educational shows. So I was like mic'd up. I had a script memorized. I was just hoping that whatever script piece I was saying, the animal wanted to do that day, because you can't force animals to do something that they don't want to do. So if the seal doesn't want to recycle, guess what? Guess who's ad-libbing? Me. So it was just a crazy experience that really helped me grow in my public speaking and being comfortable in front of crowds. So when I first started hosting, I was like, I'll host shows of 5 people, please. Like, that's it. Just cut it off when 5 people come in the gates. And by the end of it, I think my biggest show was like 122 people. And after that, I was like, bring it on. Just pack them in. Let's see how this goes. So yeah, that's been my zoo experience so far. A lot of crazy stories that happen within that, of course, because animals they're like people, they have their own personalities. I mean, you can't give them human feelings, you can't anthropomorphize. How do you say that? Anthropomorph. We love, but animals might not, is what it comes down to. We can't say animals love us because we don't actually know. Anyway, but like, and they have their own personalities, they have bad days, they have off days, and they're sassy too. So
when you've talked about the zoo experience, as you've dubbed it, you've talked about wanting to work at Disney. What are your career aspirations or goals? Like, what is it that you'd like to do?
Ideally? I think after my experience at Henry Vilas, like, that really solidified my dream of being a zookeeper. So
Joe Exotic.
Yeah. No, no, not Joe Exotic. Anything.
Carol Baskin.
Steve Irwin. Okay. Steve Irwin all the way.
Are you going to live in Australia?
I think that would be super cool. I grew up watching Steve Irwin and the Crocodile Hunter, and like my goal was to meet him. So of course, when I was like 8 and he passed away, I was devastated. I was also jealous though of his daughter, who is the same age as me, who like lives at the zoo basically. I'm like, Mom, she didn't even have to go to school, but here she is doing my dream job. Like, also like, she's brave. She carries big snakes. She has big snakes on her all the time, like accessories. And I don't, maybe it's a good thing that I'm not her, but I admire her and I strive to be like her.
Can you give us like a, oh, crikey.
Crikey. Dalton does it way better.
But like a Steve Irwin.
Oh, okay. Like, crikey. That was good, actually. I surprised myself.
Yeah, so you don't underestimate yourself. Have you seen, you know, we were talking about Bindi and how she has all these, like, snakes and everything.
Yeah.
Have you seen the segment that Jimmy Fallon did with Kevin Hart where Robert had come onto the show and was giving them animals to her? To hold and everything, and Kevin was not about it whatsoever.
Yes, I love that.
What a great segment. Well, I swear, one of the greatest segments. If I'm going to turn something on to watch Kevin Hart, I'm going to turn that segment on as one of the first things I turn on.
Oh my God, that is so great. I love that. I should probably watch that now after we conclude, but that's what I'm going to do next.
Maybe I will too. Well, Alexis, thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Have you ever listened to my podcast before?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So then you know what the last question is, yeah?
No.
So you haven't listened as religiously.
I was listening to your one for the Radio Silence Broken. I was like, wait, why did he go radio silence
yeah.
to begin with? But there was no explanation. It was a cliffhanger. But
correct. Well, you don't know what I'm going to ask you then. Whether it's something that we've talked about here in the however long we've been talking, I don't have a timer, or maybe it's something we didn't talk about, what is it that you want people to learn or to take away from this podcast or from you?
I would have to say to be bold and live authentically, to not restrict yourself on who you can be or who you should be, but to live life to the fullest and to love others the best that you can.
Love's important. Well said. That was good.
Thank you.
So you also don't know what else is about to come. So that's it. This is it. This is the end. However, you now get to do the sign off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
That might be a terrible decision.
Well, can't be worse than some of them that I've had. So just like how I told you, you were like, well, I don't know. Like, what if I'm bad? I've had some pretty bad guests. And I told you, you wouldn't be a bad guest. So you've already exceeded in that. Now I just need you to do the sign off.
Thank you. I'm honored. All right. Well, homies, thanks for listening to Trent Speaks, and stay tuned for the next podcast and straight fire that he's going to bring to you all.